Lord God, thank you for your goodness. And as we have just sang together, thank you, Father, for giving your Son, and then for leaving your Spirit with us to comfort us and to help us. But we thank you, O God, for the whole plan of salvation. And Lord Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood on a cross for our sins. Thank you that you rose again the third day, and that we can have life this morning, and our sins forgiven all through the power of the cross. We praise you for that, Jesus. You're our Savior. And Lord, we give ourselves to you this morning. We thank you for your presence in our lives. I thank you, God, for this group of people standing before me this morning, this congregation. I pray, would you meet their every need? You know the cares that they have, the burdens they're carrying. I pray, God, would you be merciful and gracious to your people this morning and bless them and provide for their needs and give them grace, I ask. Lord, for that person that's carrying a heavy burden today, would you just wrap your arms around them and carry that load with them this morning, I pray. But I just would ask you to be gracious to your people. Lord, we especially want to remember some that are sick. We think of Carolyn Cherian and Trisha Hughes and Sister Woad and Sister Cox and Susie Krotz. We think of Twig this morning. Lord, each of these needs your touch. And we just pray, would you minister to them exactly what their needs are. Lord, we also just lift to you Linda Hudson this morning. We thank you for how you've been helping her, but would you continue to bring healing to her, Lord. But we just pray, would you help each of these. And then, Lord, we would just ask, would you help us as a church? Lord, we want to build your kingdom here. And so I just pray, would you use us for your glory and your honor, and help us, God, to do your work. Lord, we lift our nation to you this morning. We pray for our president and vice president and each of our country's leaders. We just ask, would you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake? But Lord, help our country's leaders. Would you give them wisdom, and may they lead our country in the way that you would have us to go. And we just ask, would you bless them and help them today as well. Lord, we want you to know that we love you. We belong to you. We give our lives to you all over again here this morning. And we just thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. We bless your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
Two quick announcements I want to make you aware of. First off, you should have received one of these in your bulletin this morning. And if you'll just kind of pick that up and take a look at it this morning. This Wednesday night, Franklin Graham will be speaking in Greenville at the Pitt County Fairgrounds. And so I want to make you aware of that. And we're excited about that. So this Wednesday, we will be headed to a Franklin Graham Decision America event, and we'll be lifting services. So if you want to join with us there at that event, I'll have more details after the service this morning. If you have any questions, see me, and we can go from there. The other announcement is if you're new here, I just want to say a special welcome to you. We will not embarrass you. We're going to take up an offering here in a little bit, and you don't need to partake of that, please don't. You don't need to feel like you need to participate in that. And if you're new here, you should have received a welcome packet, kind of an overview of our ministries here, and just a kind of a little snippet of what goes on at Faith Chapel. In there, you should have also received a contact card. If you would take that out and fill it out, we want to get you a gift following the service. And so if you'll look for me, I have a gift for you, and we have a gift for you at the back following the service. And thank you for being here. We're glad, we're honored that you chose to join us at Faith Chapel this morning. And thank you for everybody that we're all here. Amen.
All right, just a couple more things. After the service this morning, there is lunch provided for everybody, and so we hope that you'll stay. And the dining hall we use is actually at Carolina Christian Academy, right across the road. And if you just follow the stream of traffic, you'll find your way. If you don't know where it is, you can ask somebody, or just follow your nose. I was over there this morning early, and Sister Kathy was in there working, and oh, it was already smelling good. I wanted to stay for breakfast, but that's something we want all of you to participate in. And then tonight, normally we start at 6 o'clock, but a schedule change tonight. We're starting at 6:30, and there'll be a concert tonight with the Cragen family, just a special evening of music and worship together. And so that's something that you'll definitely want to be here for. But 6:30 tonight, the doors will open at 6 o'clock, so you can come at 6 and get a seat and invite a friend with you, and that's going to be a great time together. I also just wanted to mention, I'll be posting this on the back bulletin board, but it says join us for a baby shower honoring Jesse and Patrick, and that's happening November the 2nd on Saturday. I'll post that in the back, but there's a baby shower, and that'll be at the CCA dining hall right across the road, and so just want to make you aware of that. And then I did want to just say thank you to the Shrums, and this is the Shrums Backyard Honey. And so hope if you didn't get one of these, there's one for every family, and we want you to take that. We're trying to sweeten you up a little bit. That's something that we appreciate, Sister Shrum, putting that together. I don't know if her husband helped her at all or not. Maybe he helps too, but we'll just thank Sherry. Anyhow. At this time, the ushers are coming. As we take up the offering this morning, too, I'd invite the choir to come back, and they're going to sing a couple songs. But ushers, would you go ahead, and let's continue in worship through our giving this morning. Thank you.
not be afraid. Do not be story of God's redemption plan. How Jesus died to take our sins away. But my finest words cannot express what one old rugged tree said best, for nailed to it was all God had to say. The cross. Could spell it in the stars. He could paint it across the sky for all to see. But with his own blood, Jesus Christ wrote, "I love you," with his life, and forgiveness still resounds from Calvary. The cross. God's heart was hurt for the cross.
Yes, he is. Amen. Yes, he is.
We want him.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Right. Yes. Yes. That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sowers. Bless the Lord. Praise his name. I'm going to ask all of our kids, age 12 and under, if you would stand, and you can be dismissed right out the door right here. I think Sister Barb is waiting for you already. And there's going to be kids club this morning. There will not be a kids club tonight. And so we got a great group of kids, don't we? And yeah, give them a hand. They're a fantastic group of kids. Man, they look sharp. And I love having this whole row up here, right in the third row. Great group this morning. And so they're going to head to Children's Church, and they're going to learn about Jesus there. And is every heart clear? I don't want to get in too much of a hurry, but anybody else, you just need to stand and testify and give God praise. Anybody else? I don't want to be in a rush this morning. If God's... Right. Yes. 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 Yeah. That's right. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. He's always trustworthy. Always. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? You just want to give God praise. All right. Nope. Yeah. It's all right. It's all right, Mandy. Praise the Lord.
Over and beyond what I thought. And I want to praise Him for that.
Amen. Amen.
And then I want to praise Him for carrying me and my family through this dark time that we've been through. Yeah. It seems in the dark times is when we go closest to God.
Yeah.
And one thing I know, He confirmed it even last night, that He is very, very good.
Yeah. Amen.
And
amen. Yes. Yes.
And He wants all of us to make it to heaven.
That's right.
And I love Him. And I'm so glad.
Amen. Amen.
I love Him.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Wonderful testimonies. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's right. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless His name. Praise His name. Do you know this little chorus? I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. And purchased my salvation on Calvary. I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me and purchased purchased my salvation on Calvary. Amen. To God be the glory. Bless his name. I think it's time to hear from the Word. Pastor Heath is ready. He's a fine choir director too, by the way, but he's an excellent preacher. And so, Pastor Heath, would you come and just share with us what God has put on your heart this morning?
I'm rejoicing in God's presence this morning. Amen. They say that there is a special bond between a father and a daughter. In fact, that special bond is described in a variety of ways. They say of the little girl, she's the apple of her father's eye. Yeah. Or sometimes they say things like, she's daddy's little girl, or she's a daddy's girl. Or they might say things like, well, she has her daddy wrapped around her finger. She can ask whatever she wants, and her dad will give it to her. Tell you a story about a father who had a little girl. Just like any normal girl, she played with her friends. She had a lot of fun. Somehow, she was exposed to some germ or some infection or some sickness. This little girl ended up going from a very active, vibrant, young little lady to a girl who became very, very sick. And her daddy was extremely frustrated in his own spirit because there wasn't anything he could do to fix it. He called the doctor. The doctor came. The doctor visited. The doctor did everything they could, everything he or she could. But nothing would fix the fever that was racking her body with convulsions. Her sleep, this little girl, if she had sleep, was very fitful. Didn't last for very long, and then she would wake up moaning, and that father and the mother too would come running. What is it? What is it? Her appetite had diminished to the point over a few days that she no longer would want to eat anything. Nothing would stay down, for one thing. And the thoughts of food in her little mind just caused her great consternation. They would try to feed her some soup or something to get down so she could have some sustenance, and she would always moan and push it away. They tried to give her something to drink, but even that, she barely took sips of water and whatever juice they gave her. Finally, after a couple of days, the mother and the father are standing in the corner of the bedroom, wringing their hands, as it were, because there was nothing else they could do. She would stir on the bed, and they would rush over to her side. And the mother, she had a little stool beside her bed, and she would sit there for hours trying to give her a drink or trying to feed her some soup. And in the between those times, she would just hold her hand. But the dad, he's a little bit different. We dads don't sit very well. We don't hold hands very well. But we pace around the room really well. And as this little girl got sicker and sicker and sicker, he would just walk from one end of the room to the other. Sometimes he'd go out into the other rooms of the house and try to find something to do, but he always came back to check on his little girl. He's standing there pacing, his wife sitting there holding his little daughter's hand, and he hears a commotion in the outside room. He nods at his wife, "I'm going to go check it out." He walks to the front of their house, and there in the doorway is a neighbor. A neighbor that they knew, a neighbor that they had good relations with. And the neighbor said something that caused the father to hesitate for a moment. The neighbor said, "You need to come with me." And the father thought to himself, "No, I need to be here." I need to be here at my little girl's side. We're trying to do everything we can. In his mind, this is what's racing. Don't you know I need to be right here? This is the most important thing. But there was a look in the neighbor's eye, his friend's eye, that caused him to stop, and he asked, why? And the neighbor said, get your coat and come with me, and I'll explain on the way. He grabbed his coat. He decided to take a chance and trust his neighbor, and they walked out the door together. Man's walking just a normal pace, but as the neighbor begins to explain to him where they're going and why they're going, the father begins to walk faster and faster and faster. The neighbor tells him a story. It's not a story, really. Tells him what's been happening in their community. There's a teacher in town. And not only does he say words, but he does things that nobody else can do. And the people who come to hear him speak, not only hear him say words, they watch him as blind people are given their sight. And lame people begin to walk again. And the neighbor said to the father, you need to see and you need to ask him to come and heal your daughter. Well, at this point, the father is not only walking fast, he's almost running. And if the streets weren't filled so packed with people, he would be running full steam ahead. They get to the outskirts of their town and they make their way over a hill, and spread out before them is the Sea of Galilee. And there is a large crowd gathered there. And there, standing beside the Sea of Galilee, is the teacher, the rabbi, the healer. And that father, with all of the anguish in his heart, with all of the passion in his life as a daddy of his little girl, he runs as best he can to the teacher. And he kneels down before him and he says, please come and touch my daughter and heal her. This is a story in Scripture that you've probably heard many times. Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 5. If you're a father here today, you probably can identify with the emotions of this dad. He was pretty desperate. By the time he got to Jesus, he was at the end of his rope. He had done all that he knew to do. The neighbors had been coming by for maybe even weeks. Maybe they had remedies and things handed down from generation to generation. Well, if you mix this herb with this and give it to her, they've tried everything and nothing else has worked. And now he's before Jesus Christ and he desperately asks him to come and heal his daughter. I want to read this story to you. And I want you to look at it through the eyes of this father for just a moment. And I want you to recognize what Jesus does as he goes through this particular story in Mark chapter 5. I'm going to pick up at verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again into the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. Do you see the desperation in his voice? My little precious girl is almost gone. Would you come? Would you touch her? Would you heal her? Verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Jesus walked away from the crowd. He walked away from the Sea of Galilee. He walked away from his place of ministry. He saw the desperation in that father's eyes, and he went with him. But the crowd followed him. Keep reading through verse 24. The crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians. And she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And she had heard reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. Do you remember this story as well? For she said in her mind, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately, verse 29, the flow of blood stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving himself in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples, they don't get it, do they? It takes a while through the Gospels for the disciples to get it. His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd that is pressing around you, and yet you ask the question, 'Who touched me?'" And Jesus looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." We're going to pick up the story in just a moment, but listen for just a moment. Through the eyes of this father, he rushes to Jesus. He humbles himself before Jesus, and this is a man of means. He's in a respected position in society. But he falls down before Jesus out of the desperation of a father's heart. "Please come and heal my daughter. Please come and touch my daughter." And Jesus drops everything and goes with this man on the little trip back to his home. But in the midst of that, I can imagine the father's emotions are just going all topsy-turvy. He's in there with desperation, and now Jesus is coming along with him to his house, and he's thinking, "Oh yes, there's hope, there's excitement, this is wonderful." And I can imagine him already planning in his mind what he's going to do when he gets there, and he's going to explain to his wife what Jesus has done and what he saw him do by the Sea of Galilee, and it's going to be a great day. And then Jesus stops. It's like, "Come on, Jesus, why'd you stop?" Maybe he didn't say anything. Maybe he was too polite. But if I was a dad and my daughter was almost dead, and the man I knew who had the healing power in his hands could heal her, and he stopped, I'd be wanting to go back and say, "Hey, everybody, part the crowd. We have a job to do. Jesus, I only need a couple of minutes of your time. Don't stop now. Don't stop now." But he stands there as Jesus not only stops, but Jesus takes the time to conduct an inquiry. "Who touched me? Why do you care? There's hundreds of people all around you. Why does it matter?" It matters to Jesus. The father is now back to the emotional point of desperation where he was a few moments ago. He had gone from desperation to hope, and now he's back to desperation. And now there's something else rising up within him, frustration, maybe even some anger because Jesus isn't doing what he thought he was going to do. Jesus is oblivious to all that because he has some things in his mind that he needs to accomplish. And so Jesus looks at this woman who finally, haltingly and trembling, comes up and kneels before him, and he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." What a beautiful picture of Jesus and what he wants to accomplish in people's lives. But that dad is standing there wringing his hands, and we pick up the story in verse 35, and it gets a little more difficult for that dad because here's what happens next. While Jesus was still speaking, there came from that ruler, Jairus' house, someone who said, "It's no use. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" The father's on the sidelines and he's trying to get Jesus to come. And while Jesus is talking, all of a sudden another neighbor shows up and says, whispers in his ear maybe, "Just forget about it. It's over. There's no use to be here. Just let the teacher continue to do whatever he was going to do." But Jesus, even while interacting with this precious lady who has been sick for 12 years, Jesus, while he is in the process of telling her that her faith has made her whole, Jesus also knows what's happening just a few feet away. Jesus has the ability not only to heal and to touch and to communicate, but he has the ability to know what's happening with everyone else in that whole entire crowd. Jesus hears him. Verse 36 says, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear. Only believe. And then Jesus did something else that's very interesting. He allowed no one to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He said, crowd, y'all need to stay here for a moment. I don't think Jesus used the word y'all, but crowd, stay. Peter, James, John, come with me. And he walks with that father, just him, the father, and the three disciples. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw the commotion that was going on there. I'm in verse 38 now. And Jesus saw the commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when Jesus entered the house, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but is only sleeping. And they laughed at him. The father's emotion was probably desperation and then anger. The people in that household who had watched this little girl die, their emotions were desperation and wailing and grief. And now it changed to making fun and scorn and laughter. People have all kinds of emotions when Jesus is doing his work. Let me just rephrase that. You and I have all kinds of emotions when Jesus is doing his work. There are times in our lives when it's like we're on cloud nine, like the sun is out and the clouds are billowing and it's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Everything is clicking away. And then there's other times when we know the emotions of desperation. There's other times when we know the emotions of grief and heartache. And if we're not careful, we may even know the emotions of scorn sometimes. Because things don't happen like we think they're going to happen. This father thought, once he heard who Jesus was and he heard what Jesus could do, he thought he had it figured out. I'm going to go to him and I'm going to offer him any kind of money he wants. I'm going to plead with Jesus. I'm going to humble myself publicly before him. I'm going to kneel in the dirt and dust, and then Jesus is going to come and heal my daughter. But it didn't happen exactly how he thought it would happen. And they, in this house, laughed at Jesus. And I like what Jesus did next. They laughed at him, but he put them all outside. Jesus walks into that house and he's with Peter, James, and John and the father, and everybody's weeping, and Jesus makes a statement, oh, the child's only sleeping. They laugh at him and he says, out. You don't deserve to see what I'm going to do next. Jesus empties the entire house. All the mourners that had been hired to wail and mourn for this dead little girl, they're kicked out. All the unbelieving people around that family who just basically gave up hope, they're out. And then Jesus is alone with the father, the mother, and Peter, James, and John. It says this, he put them all outside and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, that's Peter, James, and John, and they went into the bedroom where the child was. Verse 41, and taking her by the hand, he said to this little girl, Talitha kumai, which means, little girl, I say unto you, arise. And what happened? Immediately the girl got up, and she began walking, for she was 12 years of age. She wasn't tiny. She wasn't a toddler. She was 12 years of age. By the way, it's interesting. She's 12. And as long as she's been alive, the lady that Jesus just healed had had her problems for 12 years. I don't know. It's an interesting correlation. But Scripture points that out to us. And they in the room were immediately overcome with amazement. And then Jesus strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. I really like that last line there, give her something to eat. When you go through a hard time, and Jesus helps you out, the next thing to do is eat. That's how I get from that verse. Can I point out a couple things from this passage, this story? I know this is a different kind of message. Listen, Jesus can handle whatever you're facing. Period. You have a daughter who's sick, and she's the joy of your life. My little girl is sick this morning, and I didn't know that when I planned this message. So you can pray for my little girl. I'm going to go home and check on her right after this. When your family members are struggling, it's tough. When you lose your job, it's tough. When things don't go as planned, it's tough. You've lived long enough to know that there are all kinds of circumstances in life that get us down, that confuse us, that confound us. But I want you to know, whether you are an older lady that's had a problem for 12 long years, or you're a little girl who's only been alive on the earth for 12 years, Jesus can handle whatever you're facing. He can. In fact, Malachi reminds us that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Now, I know God doesn't always do things like we want him to do them. We're going to get to that in a moment. But don't forget that our God has the power to heal, to change, to save to the uttermost, to redeem any lost person that you're praying about. He has the ability to change any situation that you may be facing. That's our God. But let me remind you of something else. And I didn't find this in this passage, but it is something I'm going to draw from it. And you know this, Jesus is not Santa Claus. Just because we have a wish list doesn't mean that Jesus is going to do everything on our wish list. I don't know if you made out Christmas lists when you were young and you handed them to your parents. I think I mentioned this maybe a year or so ago. I would get those big Sears and Roebuck wish books with all those toys in there, and I'd get a big marker and I'd circle at least one toy on every page. Well, my parents weren't able to fulfill all those wishes. And let me just tell you, Jesus is able to give you everything that we could ever need or even ever want, but he is not a Santa Claus to give us what we don't need. In fact, the problem is, we many times as human beings want what is not actually good for us. We love candy. At least as kids we do. Until we start having dental problems. Until we have to go to the dentist multiple times. And all of a sudden we put the correlation together. Candy tastes good, but it may not be really good for us. The same is true in our life. We want Jesus to take care of the situation. We want Jesus to give us enough money so that we can do this and this and this. We want Jesus to heal this particular ailment. We want Jesus to take care of this particular problem. And it seems good for us for God to do it in the way that we want him to do it. But God is not a God who's going to listen to us. Aren't you grateful for that? Our God is a God who knows better than we know what is good. I remember a Andy Griffith program I watched a long time ago. The salesman comes to town with all these bottles of ointment. Do you remember that one? And somewhere on there it said it was good for whatever ails you. And he began to sell it to all the ladies in Mayberry. Who said they went to Mount Pilot just recently? Somebody testified. Was that Nancy? Was that you? You were close to Mayberry, I think. Good for what ails you. And this great salesman, he got all the ladies in town to buy this, including Aunt B. And of course, you know, Aunt B, she get on the phone and tell all her neighbors, you got to buy this. This is great. Until Sheriff Andy had to arrest all the ladies in Mayberry for drunkenness. Because the elixir in that bottle was just alcohol. Yeah, it is good for all that ails you, because you don't know what's coming next, because you're toasted. You're out. The funniest part of that whole thing is when Andy puts B and all of her lady friends, all the gossiping ladies, end up in jail. It was great. Hopefully it made the front page of the paper. That would have been awesome. Jesus, contrary to popular opinion, is just not a God who is good for whatever ails you. Jesus is not just a bottle of elixir that you pop the lid off of and you drink a couple glugs when life gets really tough. Jesus wants to walk with you step by step and moment by moment. And Jesus wants to be more to you than just a Santa Claus who gives out gifts when we pray for it. Jesus wants to do for you better things than you can even imagine in yourself what needs to be done. Let me point out something else. Not only can Jesus handle whatever problem you're facing, not only is Jesus not a Santa Claus, he knows truly what's best for us. Jesus cares about everyone. I want to stop on this point for just a moment. The very fact that Jesus left the crowd and left his teaching to go with this dad, to go find his daughter and to go heal her, Jesus cares about him, right? Would you agree with that? Say amen. Good. But also the fact that Jesus stops in the middle of their travels to this home to interact with a lady who had just been healed from touching his garment, Jesus cares about her. And I don't know about you, but if I'm the dad and I have a little girl who's sick nigh unto death, and Jesus stops, he's doing what I want him to do, he's answering my prayer, he's coming along with me to visit my daughter and hopefully to heal her, and then he stops to help someone else. It's frustrating to me at that moment. But it is proof that Jesus cares about everyone. Not just you or me, but he cares about everyone in this room. He cares about the people who aren't even in church this morning. He cares about the people who don't know anything about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus cares about everyone. And the fact that Jesus stops to heal this woman doesn't mean that he's doing the wrong thing for this man. No. Jesus gets the glory when he raises the little girl from the dead. But it proves that Jesus cares about you and me. And when it looks like Jesus is helping everybody else out, just hold steady. His care and his love and his concern for you is still constant, even when it looks like he's helping everybody else except for you. Have you ever had the poor me mentality? Sure wish God would answer my prayer. Wow, God did that for you? Uh-oh. God took care of your needs. God answered a prayer for you. Sure wish he'd do that for me. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever? You probably haven't prayed that, but have you ever thought that? Just wait. The good and righteous, godly creator of the universe cares about you equally as much as he cares about everybody else. But the fourth thing I want you to know, and the last thing is this. Jesus does not always do what we want him to do. He does not always heal like we think he should heal. He does not always answer prayer like we think prayer should be answered. In his sovereignty and his wisdom, he doesn't always do what we think we know he needs to do. Jairus wanted his daughter healed. Jesus wanted to prove that he was the victor over death. Jairus wanted to get to the end of this difficult time in his life as a parent watching his daughter suffer. He wanted to get to the end of it as quickly as possible. Jesus wanted to prolong it for a little while so that he could prove how powerful he was, not just to heal the lame and touch the blinded eyes, so that he could raise the dead to life. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? And we ask questions like, why didn't Jesus take care of the situation? Why didn't Jesus heal me? Why didn't Jesus take care of this person in my life who's been doing these things that have been detrimental to me? Why doesn't Jesus fix all that? Maybe he is fixing it. But maybe he's doing it according to his timetable and not ours. And another thing to think about, and you probably haven't thought about this very often, when we ask the question, why doesn't Jesus heal? Why doesn't Jesus touch? Why doesn't Jesus change this situation or that situation? Why doesn't Jesus heal people today like he healed them back in Bible days? Did you know that Jesus didn't heal everybody he met in Scripture? Do you remember when Jesus went to the pool and when the waters were troubled, one person, the first person that got in was the one who was healed? Do you remember that? And Jesus goes there and he walks past all of these lame and malfunctioned people, all these people that have all of these problems and needs, and he goes to the lame man and he heals him. And the lame man goes skipping out, praising the Lord, right past all these other people who haven't been healed. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus heals some people and he doesn't heal others. That's the way he has always done. And it's not because he's rude or he's vindictive or he doesn't understand. It's not because he doesn't have love. It's just because he knows what's best. And I want Jesus to do what I want him to do. I want him to heal this. I want him to take care of that. I want him to fix this. I want him to provide the money for this. But when Jesus walked with that father to go back to his house to heal his daughter, he walked away from who knows how many people who had traveled from all around the Sea of Galilee because they too had heard that Jesus was a healer. And now they fight. I can just imagine other people. They finally get to where the crowd is. They finally get to the Sea of Galilee. And maybe they're lame in one leg and they've been limping for hours, walking and hobbling and trying to get to Jesus. And they get there and Jesus walks off with this dad to go heal the daughter. Don't get me wrong. There are incredible examples in this book of healing after healing after healing, of touching after touching after touching. It's in here. But there's also examples in here of miracles that Jesus didn't do. Not because he's not able, but because he's not Santa Claus. Miracles not because the person who is in that position doesn't think it's good, but because God knows it's not the best. Jesus, the Son of God, can do whatever he wants to do. He has that kind of power. But he will do whatever he thinks is best for you and for me. Remember a couple of years ago, actually maybe a year and a half or so, I came down with some kind of, I thought it was allergies or something. Here it was a big infection. I end up in the emergency room in High Point, and I've never spent the night in the hospital in my life, but that was one of the few times I've been to the emergency room. And I had been with other people, and you know, they say, well, we got to give you a shot, a steroid shot to help you get over this sickness. And usually they'll say something about this. It's gonna stick a little bit. If the doctor says it's gonna stick, or you might feel this a little bit, just brace yourself. It's gonna be pretty bad. Most people that have had I don't know if you've ever had a steroid shot, but they usually do it in your hip or leg or how to describe. I don't know where all they do it, but somewhere where it is painful to walk. In fact, for a while after you get the shot, it hurts so bad you're like, man, why in the world did they give me that shot? But as soon as the medicine starts kicking in, and as soon as that steroid medicine starts working, and then you're on cloud nine and you're doing what you need to be doing or whatever, I don't know how to describe it, you're like, hey, where can I get another shot? Could you do the other leg or whatever? I remember being in the emergency room and they said, oh, we have to give you the shot. And I thought, oh boy, here it comes. We as adults know that we have to go through some pain in order to get better. Jesus knew that the lady who touched the hem of his garment had to go through 12 long years of pain before he would show himself true to her. Jesus also knew that this father who had been wringing his hands and pacing the floor in his house for days, he knew that he had to wait just a little bit longer in order for Jesus to show himself true to them. This morning, here's what I want to tell you. I don't know what you're facing. It might be physical. It might be spiritual. It might be emotional. It might be financial. It might have to do with your family. It might have to do with your job. I don't know what you're facing, but I know all of us are facing something. And maybe you've been facing it for a very long time. And maybe God has healed your neighbor. And maybe God has given provision to someone else in your life. And maybe you're feeling like God has left you out. There's five words I want to leave with you this morning. It's the five words that Jesus spoke to this father whose little girl was now dead, who in desperation had rushed out of the house. He had given up his opportunity to be at his little girl's side to go get Jesus, and now he wasn't even there when she passed. And Jesus looks at this father with compassion in his eyes, and he says to him, "Do not fear. Only believe." The point of being a Christian is not simply so that you can make it to heaven someday. The point of being a Christian is to trust in a God who knows more about you, and he knows what's best for you better than you and I know ourselves. And no matter what you're facing this morning, Jesus' words to you and to me are, do not fear. I've got this under control. All you have to do is believe in me. Would you stand this morning as we close? My question for you is a question not only to those of you who have been a Christian for many years, but it's also a question to those of you who may not be followers of Christ even this morning. It's this question: do you believe that even though you don't understand why Jesus does what he does or why he did what he did, do you believe that he loves you? Do you believe that he has the power to do whatever he needs to do to work miracles in your life? Do you believe? Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, this Harvest Sunday, for this good crowd that's here. Thank you for our children and kids club. We thank you for the meal we're going to partake of in a few moments. But Lord, we also thank you for this story that we've read, we've studied, we've looked at today. It's hard sometimes to put ourselves in other people's shoes because what we're facing seems so real and it's just at the forefront of our thinking. But Lord, I thank you for this example that we have of how you interacted with a father in desperation, and yet you brought healing and help and comfort to him and his family, just like you can bring healing and help and comfort in our family. Lord, we know that your timetable is different than ours. We know that your priorities are different than ours. We know that what you think is best is sometimes not what we understand to be best. But Lord, we just want you to know today that we believe in you. And we believe that you have the power to do whatever you need to do so that we can have your will done in our lives. Lord, I pray for the person here that is fearful, that has all these emotions in their mind. I pray that they would take this message to heart, these words to heart. Lord, help them to not fear, but to trust in you, to believe in your never-ending power and your grace to each one of us. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for all that you've done for us, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All of you are invited to the meal. It's up at the dining hall of Carolina Christian Academy. And I would encourage you all to come back at 6:30 tonight. We moved our concert from in the afternoon to the evening so that we can give the ladies who are cooking and everything a possibility to be at the concert. So come back tonight at 6:30. We'd love to have you. You are dismissed.